Thank you very much. Today I want to speak on high tunnels and winter cover crops in high tunnels. Karen mentioned a minute ago that that there tends to be a lot of residual nitrate in vegetable systems, or there can be. And so we'll talk a little bit about that here in a minute. And but our system that I'm talking about today was actually not in vegetables for the last 4 or 5 years at this particular field that I'm in. I'm in central Mississippi, about 30 miles south of Jackson, about 2.5 hours north of New Orleans, to give you a perspective on that. Unlike western Washington, we get lots of rain in Mississippi. We get about 54 inches of rain. And the high tunnel systems allow us to do a lot of things in the winter that that might otherwise be rained out or frosted out. So that's why we're doing it. But the system here was an unmanaged vegetable field prior to building tunnels in the summer of 2010. We had 4 cover crop treatments that we were trying in here, and the reason we did cover crops in here, well, one, it's certified organic production, so we need to document that we're either maintaining or improving soil health according to the NOP. And cover crops are a way of doing that. We can increase organic matter. We were hoping to do some of that. We were exploring to see whether we'd be able to trap some nitrate in that cover crop, even though in a high tunnel system, if you're not irrigating it, you're not going to have, you shouldn't have significant leaching out of it, but there is groundwater movement to the side and things, so you never know. And the other thing that we have in here as part of the preliminary look at cover crops in these tunnels in vegetable systems was a biofumigant mustard blend, the Caliente 199. The annual ryegrass that we use ryegrass instead of cereal rye, which is common in organic systems. We use annual ryegrass because that's a common thing that even that growers do in Mississippi. They use ryegrass and not rye. So in this case, we did that. We are going to try the rye in the future, but we didn't do that in this system. And we reduced the seeding rate in the ryegrass when we blended it with hairy vetch. And then we had the the mustard. And then we had a weed-free barrier, a weed-free bare ground control. These cover crops were sown last winter in November. We have 2 reps. We have large plots and 2 high tunnels. So we're going to repeat this for many years because we just don't have the tunnel space to do any more than that. And they were grown for about 90 days in those tunnels prior to sowing under and planting spring vegetables. The cover crops were sown by hand into tilled ground and incorporated with a rotary tiller to about an inch. We tried to keep it as shallow as we could. Then we had to water them in these high tunnels. Of course, you're not going to have any rainfall. And unless we irrigate, the soil moisture in Mississippi goes away like that in these high tunnels because it gets very warm even with the doors open. It'll hit 90 degrees in the wintertime some days. And again, because these are cover crops, no fertilizer is applied to the cover crops. We're not looking at growing maximal with fertilizer. We're trying to trap fertilizer, especially the nitrogen with that. So it's all maintained as an organic as a certified organic land. Here are the tunnels. These are 30 by 96. You can look inside the doors there, and you can see some of the cover crop plots. You can kind of see a bare ground plot on the right side, or on the left side, rather, of, let's see, right in here, right there. You can see that there. We have, it's basically divided in 4 plots. So each plot is about, these tunnels are 30 by 96, so each that's feet. So each plot is about 4.5 meters across and maybe 15 meters long, 16 meters long, something like that. And then we have the ground out here is maintained with a with water slopes to move the water away from the tunnel so it doesn't move into the tunnel. This is a swale in here, and there's a swale out here. So inside the plot, this is what it looked like on our sampling date in January. You have mustard down here, and rye here, and rye and vetch back here, and the bare ground there. You see a little bit of weed pressure coming in the corners because you get moisture off the roof and that builds in. And I'm going to talk about that little swatch back there in a couple minutes. Here's the ryegrass plot at sampling. We had very dense stands of the ryegrass. very dense stands of the mustard. The mustard, by the way, is a blend. It's not just one. On my research on it, and it requires very specific management protocols. If you read the instructions from the company that blended this out of England, they want you to go and mow it and incorporate it within 30 minutes of mowing it down. Otherwise, you lose some of the glucosinolates, which are the active compounds in the biofumigation that it can achieve. I don't believe that would influence the nitrogen too much, but it would certainly influence the glucosinolates. And I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. Then the bare ground plot, all the plots were irrigated, as I said, and we could control the irrigation as we needed to. And there's just a comparison of the plots side by side to give you an idea. We had issues with mowing it in a high tunnel. Of course, we can't bring in big field equipment, and at this point, we did not have a flail mower or something like that to do this. So we tried this. My theory with this was, we won't blow the cover crop off to the side. We'll be able to keep it in the plot because the gravely keeps the stuff in. So it didn't work. All it did was gum it up. So then you got to get big green out. So we put David on the tractor, and we got a lawn tractor in there, and David did a great job with this, and it works great. The only problem is it's got a discharge chute, and we did not block off the discharge chute. That would have been a mess anyway. It would have been just like the gravely. So what we had to do after that was we had to rake and separate. We cut the grass first before we did the mustard. And then we had to rake the grass and kind of throw it back into the plot as evenly as we could to distribute it as best we could. And again, this is after sampling. Mustard, the mower did fine on the mustard. But the mustard, now note, these doors are all open here, and this door is open. So all four, the sides are open and the doors are open. He had to stop the tractor. The mustard was so powerful, the gases coming off the mustard, he had to stop the tractor and stop for a minute. And all the rest of us had to get out of the high tunnel while the mustard was being cut. It was really powerful stuff. And I think that's fascinating. I thought that's one of the most fascinating things out of the study so far. It's early. It's preliminary data. And then we had to have a weed whacker come in and catch the edges because the mower can't catch the edges. And again, I'm going to talk about that in a second there. We then incorporated with a rotary tiller because we were going to do raised beds for the vegetables after this. So we incorporated with a rotary tiller, and we made sure that the depth was what we wanted to achieve and stuff like that. And yes, I actually work sometimes. But Vasily, who's sitting over there in the second row, he works a lot. And so he did all our soil sampling. and you can see not every day is warm here. He's in in what they call a hoodie now. What I know is just a sweatshirt with a hooded sweatshirt. But anyway, we had a stand problem at the north end of both houses. See that stand problem there? Oh, also note the interesting thing from the flooding. We get a lightening of the wheat or of the ryegrass along the edges here. But anyway, this, any idea what that was? Oh, no, don't do that to me. Uh-oh. There it is. All right. Rabbits were coming in the tunnels and eating our cover crop. They made it about 8 feet into the tunnels before we figured it out. And because the patch just kept growing. It kept growing and growing. So that was more work for Vasily because he got to go on varmint control. But that was it. We had a problem with the vetch in the system. I think our ryegrass plots were too dense, and the vetch didn't come up. We have to experiment with that. Someone was talking about cultivars, and I want to talk to the person that was talking about cultivars of vetch because I want to see if I can screen some of those. So we got to work on that part of the system here in 2011. In early 2011, our results soil nitrate concentrations in the soil more than 50% higher in the bare ground plots than in the cover crop plots. So what was happening, of course, was the nitrogen was moving in. We're talking about less than 10 ppm in the cover crop plots by this time, and well over 20 ppm in the bare ground plots still left in that soil. So, and the mustard and the ryegrass plots were identical statistically in that. And again, this is only two reps, 1 year, so it's not There were no significant differences at that time in the soil, phosphorus, potassium, and no significant differences in the organic matter at that time. But that's prior to tilling it under. And then the other data is all in the works still. So cover crop fresh weight February, we had pretty good yields, and all of the crops produced. This is all not significantly different from one another. Again, it's only two reps though, so that's our situation with that. What we're working on now, we've got to do more of the nutrient budget. My situation is, Vasily's great, but my technician took his dream job and is now teaching, and so some of this stuff is on the shelf still, waiting to get done, and so it's this winter's projects. But we have soil tests that we've taken post cover crop. We've got all of this, so we want to do nutrient budgets in this, and we're going to have those done. And then we did grow vegetables after this, grew tomatoes and grew sunflowers. Grew sunflowers up to the ceiling of those tunnels, sunflower, cut flowers, it was great. But it's a neat system because in Mississippi we can grow vegetables all the way until mid-November in these tunnels without much risk of any frost damage. We're about to have a frost tomorrow night in Mississippi. It's likely tomorrow night we're going to have a frost in Mississippi. But we have tomatoes with fruit this big, and they'll be fine in these tunnels. It won't get, because the soil is so warm now in the tunnel, it won't get below 50 in the tunnels on Thursday night probably. But then we have the short window where we can build the soil up because we're using the tunnels so many months a year in Mississippi. We'll use the tunnels for vegetable crops from January 15th all the way through until November 15th. So that only leaves us about 80, 90 days to get the cover crops and build up the soil. So that's what we're going to do in the future. And this is funded and currently funded, continues another year, a USDA specialty crop block grant. And some special research initiative money from the experiment station. And we have lots of people working on it. Not as many as you guys have in Washington, but it all takes a lot of work. So come to a Southern Region meeting, and we'll have a lot more data at Southern Region. So thanks.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Bill?
Ma'am. The question is tilling standard practice in our high tunnels in Mississippi? High tunnels are very new in Mississippi, and vegetable growing is very new to many of the small growers using these systems in Mississippi. We've chosen to do it this way because it's early adapter, it's kind of early adopter thing, and we want to bring everybody into the church before we completely, change what we preach. So now we're getting some growers that are experimenting with this stuff. We don't have any tunnels at Mississippi State right now that have permanent raised beds in them. I want to do that. I want to have aisleways. I want to have non-tilled beds. I'd love to try no-till and permanent, more semi-permaculture-y kind of bio-intensive things in the tunnels. I think that's where a lot of small growers can make a lot of money and do really well for themselves. And I want to study those systems, too, under our high temperatures.
Any other questions?
Yes.
You mentioned nutrient budgets. Given the short window for your cover crop, do you expect that you might have to include
amends
in your system?
We do amend for the vegetables. The cover crops are not intended to supply all of the nutrients. Really, I'm going for with cover crops. I'm trying to build organic carbon. I'm trying to make sure I trap some of that nitrogen. And then if I need it for disease control, that mustard will come in handy. If that mustard, and I'm not there yet with that. I'm just basically getting yield data, and we're gonna try and find some money to do the biology and analysis that we need to do to study pathogens in the soil and all of that. Right now we don't have that money, but I'm gathering the preliminary data to go find that sort of money. But did that answer the question? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.